are here at the PSCU Member Forum 2019 in Austin, Texas. Look who I ran across, one of our industry icons, Jim Maroos. Jim, how are you?
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you have a busy, busy schedule, so it's great to finally meet you in person and get to chat for a little bit.
We'll see if that still works out after the fact. You like the idea. Yes, exactly.
No, I'm liking it already. So, I mean, before we get into our topics, how's the conference going for you? I know you had a couple of breakouts and stuff.
Yeah, did a couple of presentations, and I'll tell you what, the speakers they had this morning were great, and I got to see somebody who I've wanted to see for a long time, Mike Walsh, and he just nailed it. I mean, as a speaker, as part of my job, it's great to come across somebody who is kind of like in the space that I like to be in the entertainment and in the speaking, the futurism and all this. He knew a couple of people. He knows Brett King, and he knew my management company really well. He's worked for them before, and so it was great to finally meet him and see him on stage because he captivated the audience, and actually everybody did today. It was great.
Yeah. PSCU does it right for sure. Before we get into this, you're a speaker, an author, publisher. You're like, what's
Jack
next for you?
Trade.
On the moon?
Are you
next? Well, NASA's next trip to the moon?
Interesting. They sometimes say, you know, practice what you preach.
Yeah.
So, been in the banking industry my entire career. Started in the banking industry right out of college. Was a management trainee at National City Bank in Cleveland. Went from a management training program to be in charge of marketing. Went to a savings and loan back in the day when savings and loans existed.
I remember, yeah.
Went then to a bank that was created in Columbus, Ohio, made up of four bad banks. That was when they had something called the Resolution Trust Corporation that said, the government in their wisdom said, if we put four bad organizations together, we can make one good one.
Oh.
You know, that's, I believe, where unintended consequences came out. It just made a bigger bad bank.
Yeah.
Then I went on the sales side and sold to banks for the majority of my career in direct mail and direct marketing and digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with the same financial institutions I had worked with for years. Just a really fun spot. And then started writing about them and started writing about what was going on in the industry as a way to keep current with what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Built a little blog of my own. Was nice enough to be able to join. It was fun to be able to join Jeffrey Pilcher,
yep,
the financial brand.
Yep.
Really have built a really great platform for sharing information for retail bankers and credit unions about what's going on in the industry. It's a one-stop shop to say, here's what's going on. And then out of that came, I actually, really close to the same time that I came in contact and worked with Jeffrey, I bought Jim Bruni's online banking report, but it immediately changed it to the digital banking report. Changed some of the concepts, but Jim had a great program going on, a lot of very loyal subscribers. And then I think because of the writing and because of my exposure in the industry, started speaking internationally, and that's been a blast.
Yeah.
It's fun to see what's going on,
yeah,
in different regions of the world. It's fun to meet people that now know you for what you're doing on the writing side. And I was telling Debbie Bartu from PSU that it's kind of like a pay it backwards scenario where this industry's been so great to me, and now to be able to really give back and be able to share what I've learned, what I haven't learned, what I can possibly transform. And the theme of what my talk was today, the overarching theme, was really how do you embrace change, take risks, and disrupt yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Not just talking about the banker in us or the credit union executive in each of us, but as a person and as a company, because we cannot, the title initially was Future-Proof Your Banking with Technology.
Right.
You can't, because the bottom line is there's no future-proofing going on.
Right.
The consumer's running faster than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to catch up with them and realize that the government's not going to catch up with us. So we can't wait for regulations to pave the way.
Yeah.
We've never been successful at being fast followers. We're not fast, but we've been really good at following.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be on the, not the bleeding edge, but kind of balance your risk out.
Kind of on the coattails a little bit.
Yeah,
the coattails.
Definitely.
Sure. Good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. So what's the most important priority for organizations wanting to be more competitive in the future, speaking of future-proofing? So is it, I mean, I'm understanding data is pretty much the key here, I would think?
We talked about trends and predictions. Our Digital Bank Report does a study every year on trends and predictions expected.
Yep.
For the first time ever in the time that we built this report, customer experience dropped from number one. What took its place was data analytics and advanced learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it really is the foundation upon which everything else is built. But there's a missing link there, and it's something we're seeing more and more. on top of even data analytics and customer experience and faster payments and everything else, is culture leadership. It is not about the technology you buy anymore.
Right.
It's whether or not your culture and your leadership are willing to truly move from what we've done in the past to where we have to go in the future, because consumers demand it. Now, the challenge, as I mentioned to you earlier, is there's no pain. As an industry, we're all making some good money.
Right.
We're all doing things really well. The consumer's not knocking on the door, breaking it down, saying they want to change. But we're seeing silent attrition. We're not seeing new consumers, the millennials or whoever is moving into an area, pick the smaller organization as their partner. Because at the end of the day, while they'd like to buy locally, they're saying, but I need that app from Chase, or I need that app from Wells Fargo, which is why they're growing faster than any other organization, why they get higher customer satisfaction ratings. Not because they're nicer. It's not because they're friendlier. It's not because they're great in the branch. It's their digital apps work. We've got to decide as an industry and as individuals, how are we going to truly disrupt ourselves and embrace that change and take some risks that we're not been hired for in many cases to move forward? And how are we going to do this in an environment where the regulators are even worse off than we are? What are regulators besides old bankers? I mean, the bottom line is, in every one of the trade associations and everything else, the people that got in leadership because they were bankers for a long time.
Right, right.
That's part of a problem. If you're my age and you're running a financial institution, you're making money, why do I want to upset the apple cart? Why do I want to let go of Susie or tell Susie you got to take a new job or tell Bob, by the way, your accounting function is going to be done by a machine. I need you to take on another role. Yeah. The end of the day, you got to decide as an employee, am I willing to come ahead of the sheriff? Am I willing to change myself in the way I look at the industry before anybody tells me I got to leave or got to disrupt? And how do we do that, not just as professionals and as organizations, but also as people? You know, my wife was a retailer for years in store retail. She transformed herself to be a digital merchant where she bought items that were better sold digitally than in the store. My son was a great baseball player, and in eighth grade he said, I'm giving up baseball and play lacrosse. He took every course, every clinic, every engagement he could, 12 months of the year, because his goal was, I want to be a starter in lacrosse in my first year in high school. He achieved that, and since he's gone on to college, he's captain of his college lacrosse team.
For him.
But he's a junior. And I warned him, I said, 1 year from now, you're disrupting again.
Yeah.
You can't make money in lacrosse. You gotta disrupt your career choices. And I think as individuals, things are happening so much faster than ever before. Our kids have been using cell phones their entire life. People don't want to go to branches. How do we take that friendliness that credit unions are unbelievably known for?
Yep.
How do you put it into a digital app? How do you make it so that, how do you give dog biscuits and friendly smiles away in a digital app?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, exactly.
that's the $64 million question right there. And that's a challenge. So the biggest challenge is for organizations today, embracing digital transformation. It kind of segues what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, so to kind of get the warm and fuzzies in an app. So what other challenges are there? You talked about culture and
cost.
Cost, okay.
About 3 weeks ago, BB&T and SunTrust came together.
Right.
First time in my career, first time in your career, that we've seen two large organizations propose a merger that was an overlapping merger. It wasn't an expansion of geography at all. It was actually no cutting around the edges. It's to reduce branches. If you bring these two organizations together, which were at the small size of $300 billion apiece, and they said we can't compete at that amount, so they became a $600 billion organization potentially, with the same number of branches either one of them had in the past, maybe a few extras. But that was a way to basically get through the government regulations of closing branches, saving money. In addition, they're moving their headquarters to Charlotte. In my mind, I think that's to make it so that some senior level management not going to want to move from Winston-Salem or Atlanta. So they'll be able to rethink the organization and take advantage of amazing technology hub of Charlotte, just like Austin. Just a growing technology hub with a lot of young talent. At the end of the day, unfortunately, it's just financial institutions trying to find another way to cut costs, to make the numbers look better. That's not going to do it by itself. It's just like the tax break that the Trump administration gave it. It's a good, point A to point B, as was the when the loan base got better, we could, you know, we put loan revenue back. We didn't have to have holdbacks.
Right, right.
The challenge is, how do we truly change the culture and the leadership that is leading the industry and leading the organizations right now? Because these are just short-term fixes. You know, you can close branches, you can get rid of employees, you can do whatever you want. At the end of the day, have you changed the way the consumer sees you?
Yeah.
You know, we keep on using Amazon as an example. But Amazon, I just did a survey here, a hand survey. How many of you have Amazon Prime? As I've seen in three different organization meetings I've met at, everybody raise your hand.
Yeah.
How many of you, when Amazon increased your cost by 20%, $20 a year and a half ago, considered closing your Amazon Prime account? Two people raised their hand. Did you close the account? Neither person did. It's not because of free shipping. You don't have free shipping anymore. It's the experience. And you sometimes don't realize the experience that Amazon gives you. It's not about, oh, you bought this, therefore, most people that bought this also bought this, which is the way banking looks at cross-selling. What it was is, I don't have to search very far to get what I want to find. I can put in athletic shorts. It's going to know I like Nike.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to know that I like black or red.
Yeah.
It's going to know my size. It's going to know that I like to buy probably a little bit more on the higher end than the lower end of things. And I almost demand every time Amazon Prime so I can get it tomorrow. They position it so I don't have to go too far down the page, because if I had to put page two, we have an abandoned shopping cart.
Of course.
In much the same way that
Google works. Yeah, nobody knows
Google,
what's on page
you
two.
And I could ask Google the exact same question. We're going to get a completely different set of answers based on our individual experiences with Google over time. Now, we don't notice that, but what we're realizing is we're used to go scroll, scroll, scroll. You don't scroll. You scroll past the ads, maybe, but in reality, is the learning is almost subliminal. It's behind the scenes, and it's what consumers are going to expect of the financial institutions. Don't tell me I have an overdraft or an NSF. Don't tell me my account's running low on funds. You should proactively say, by the way, you should not be buying this right now, or your balance is a little bit higher. We should possibly transfer some of your savings. Or, you know, I liken it to an automobile that used to have no technology. Now, it will keep you in the right lane. It will slow you down if you're getting too close to an object. It will give you an audible tone. This intelligence is what consumers are more and more expecting of every organization they deal with, because they need to make their life easier. They need simplicity. They need the advancement of technology to help me be a better me, especially when you're talking about finance.
Are any financial institutions doing that today? Are they
proactively
saying, hey, you don't have enough money?
If you look at the change in websites, it's interesting. Wells Fargo, I use as an example, because they did it so poorly before. You look on their website now, it's all about questions. You're trying to find out, what exactly is your question? Why are you getting here? And then they'll put you in the right direction. Their onboarding program is not about trying to cross-sell. It's about asking you further questions to get to know you better, to provide you possible solutions, advisory services, as opposed to, you bought this, you should buy this, you should do this, you should do this. So organizations are getting better at that. The biggest organizations are certainly doing it better because they have more. They have more of a base to draw from.
Yeah.
But I liken it to Disney, where Disney now with the Magic Bands has gone beyond simply being able to pay and open your door. But they not only track you and know exactly where you're going to go, but they proactively on your cell phone will say, you're a family that's going to like the teacups, or you're going to like the motor cars, or you like the space ride. They're going to have a line when you probably are going to get there. Do you want us to hold you a spot? In addition, for the personalization, the talking characters have earbuds. They can communicate with your children in such a way that they'll use their name. And they may say, so what is a cold in Cleveland? Now, it's going to freak out the parents, and they're testing
That's
this.
That's creepy, Jim.
But it's creepy until you see the expression of your kid's face.
Well, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it becomes the best part of the experience at Disney.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah.
So again, when you talk about privacy regulations, you're not going to be called out on privacy if you use data for the benefit of the consumer to add value. If Amazon had a breach today, I'm not going to close my Amazon account. They've done pretty well, and they have enough value. I'm going, I can't live without my Amazon.
Same with Facebook. How many people cancel their Facebook accounts?
Exactly. Now, my closest, my financial institution, either on the personal or business side, if they have the same problem, I'd probably close it.
Yeah.
Now, as I say, they have the prenup of a 15-year relationship of stickiness, but it's not like they've learned anything. My my personal bank, I've had a relationship for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they ever show me that they know me, even though they have all this data, and they could tell me everything about me. They never proactively say, we can make your life easier. We can change your mortgage from where it is now that you're paying too much to our mortgage. Or you take a check twice a month and write a check to yourself to transfer money between your business to your personal account because our functions between the two organizations are not good. You can reach out to me and say, we'll take that money out for you. Tell us when you want it done every month, we'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's simplicity.
That's
where cool Chime thing. Says, right. Oh, we're going to determine where your balance is compared to normal. We're going to take out money. All of a sudden, I'm ending up with $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. I didn't even know it was gone. I didn't know what my account had turned to. It's like the reward system, but it's rewards in a different sense in that you're making me a better steward of my money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, if I fail at something, offer me education to help me learn it better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you're going to get my business or keep my business.
Yeah.
And someone's going to figure out a way to unwind relationships easier, and they're going to suffer. The other organization's going to suffer because transferring accounts will be easier than ever before.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Financial firms and their leaders need to disrupt themselves, you said. So what do you mean by disrupt themselves? What's this all about?
Organizations right now will not survive by just changing technology. If you don't understand the logic,
it's a culture thing.
It's totally a culture thing. And leadership in such a way that people under you and around you buy into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
BBVA, when people ask me, what organizations seem to have the best digital organizations? I mentioned BBVA, MBank in Poland, DenizBank in Turkey, certainly the organizations in China. Why? They have leadership that are not traditional bankers. They also have a financial structure within their country that's not based and rooted in long-term financial organizations. So you don't have to deal with the Fed. You don't have to deal with organizations that are steeped in tradition and are further behind than the banks are at digitalization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did have an opportunity to visit the White House a few years ago, and they said, what would you like to see us change? That's the number one. Stop bailing out organizations that aren't willing to put money in technology to make themselves.
Hallelujah.
Better. Number two, CRA. Now, the CRA's Community Reinvestment Act, don't limit organizations from being able to close. Now, you may put some stipulations on that, but you have organizations that have the worst branch systems intact, and nobody's going into them. And the biggest branches always were in the lower income areas, because that's where all the checks were cashed back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have 7 ATMs and a few tellers, but those are the most digital parts of the neighborhoods anywhere. They bought in because they had the automatic deposit quickly for anything from welfare checks to social security checks to retirement checks, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let that flexibility go so that organizations can move forward. But if an organization doesn't have a leadership that truly sees banking differently, you can pull the technology behind you want, and you're simply going to be a technology-based bad organization, bad bank, bad credit union, bank, whatever. What we have to do is say, what's it going to take? And unfortunately, playing against that is a whole lot of bankers that have been bankers for a long time have never seen bad times, really bad times. And today's not a day. Challenges with change happening so quickly, you can go from good to bad overnight. As I used to say, or still say, Amazon. If Amazon came out with a partner checking account with Goldman Sachs and said, we'll pay you $120 a year to have our checking account, I think they'd get a lot of takers. Or even more so, tell you what, we're not going to give you Amazon Prime for Virgin. I actually pay you cash every year for this. Okay, now what's bad is no financial institution can match that offer. Well, Amazon's got a whole lot of revenue streams between technology and their retail and their wholesale and their food, everything, their medical eventually. So how will you react if you wake up someday and you see that Google or Facebook or Amazon comes out with a product that you can't even come close to competing with, that's all digital, that is not being regulated because they're partnering and found a way around the rules? They don't want to become a bank.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they don't want banking customers.
Right.
They're already seeing the fact that, you know, they're getting the payment space in every way. You know, what's going to go on next? organizations and people have got to demand that their leadership, oh, and by the way, most boards do not have a person who's ever been involved in a technology company. You got to start the board. Because if those people don't demand that the organization change, it won't be around for very long.
You're exactly right. Exactly. Starts at the top. Starts at the top. Apple Card. Speaking of disruption, what's the impact on legacy organizations? Is it going to have an impact, or is it just another slow-moving Apple Pay type thing?
I was surprised during the introduction that Apple Pay is at 70% of retailers. And then I realized that about a week ago, I had left the home and I forgot my wallet. And I went to four different places, and every one of them accepted Apple Pay, but I had never thought about that. But now I'm pulling out my mobile device all the time. And organizations that make me use a card and do a swipe, I'm not visiting again, because there's alternatives everywhere. Apple Pay be able to disrupt what I currently have? I don't know. I think you'd have a much better product with Amazon card than you do have one right now where you have paybacks and all that. Mm-hmm. But it isn't taking off, you know. It's hard to disrupt normalcy or what you've been used to doing. I would not sell any of the organizations short. Apple, though, is not the purveyor of a bunch of purchase information like Amazon is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amazon knows everything about what I value. I mean, most important be speed. I'm out of town today, and I know I got a package today because I said rush. Yeah. But I knew it's not going to be in town today.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be in Austin today. But it's just my normal thing that goes, I want it now. Now, not everybody's like that.
Right.
But I also will, as I said, buy premium stuff. So if you don't know me, and Apple I don't think knows me very well, they know I buy everything
they
got.
They know you, yeah. They know you from their store. They know you on iTunes.
It will work with tech.
Yeah.
But am I going to use it for going to the grocery store? I don't know. The reward's got to be bigger than it is to change my everyday transaction behavior. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
But if you're in the Apple ecosystem, and if you're an Apple fan person, probably buy into it and check it out.
So. Oh, and it was not by mistake that they're going to have a metal card
the titanium.
I mean, I got an Amazon or a American Express card because I really like the metal.
Yeah.
And I justified it the same way everybody justified it, going, okay, but they're going to take care of some of my Uber things. They're going to take care of membership at an airline club. They're going to give me a payback on my fees. Okay, this comes out to more than I paid. I'm good. Yeah. I'm there. I justified a bad investment.
Right.
However, it is in the place that another credit card used to be that the plastic actually broke my pocket makes it so that I break cards. Well, that card didn't break. I still have my broken card in my wallet. Have not replaced it. I go, geez, isn't that a visual that I didn't need to replace that for what I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Last question. I'll let you get out of here. So future of small banks and credit unions. So are they going to thrive or are they going to survive?
It's their call. It's their call. The bad news is, as J.D. Power pointed out a number of years ago, 3 years ago, I think now, the big banks have a better customer satisfaction rating than the small banks and credit unions.
Yeah.
The credit unions are doing better from an advancement in technology and innovation basis than community banks are. Coming in second is no good position to be in. Being able to say, you can't put in your tagline, we're not as bad as the other guys, when you're talking about the community banks. And I'm sorry, but we're seeing in all the surveys we're doing, big banks are ahead of the curve or up with the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions are trying, and community banks just maybe have given up because they're just falling further and further behind.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the consumer still is number one.
Yeah.
The benefit credit unions have, for the most part, they're smaller organizations. They have a
meaning
legacy.
Nimble?
It's easier to turn a pickup truck than a semi.
Yeah.
So if you want to make the change that's necessary, if you want to look to figuring out how the customer's experience can be made better, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now more than ever, you can partner with organizations like PSCU and a number of other vendors, and vendors that PSCU partners with, to bring technology and advancement to the table quicker and easier than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put all your money down on the table to take risks and try things.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Mountain America Credit Union just signed up a company to do their digital account new opening process front to back.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, and they continue to be a leader, as does BECU and other organizations, in new technologies, innovations. You have the ability to do it. You're not so big, they have to change everything. The change got to start at the top.
Right.
And you've got to partner. You've got to find those things that are better done by somebody else. I mean, my son is in business school right now, and is majoring in business analytics. Mm-hmm. He started with a major in marketing with a minor in analytics. Then he saw the financial benefit. He changed it from analytics to marketing. Now, I said, there'll probably be an organization where you're going to be able to do both. He thinks that's pretty cool. But he says he wants to make sure his internship this summer on his junior year is all about data analytics. It's a major problem. We don't have the talent, but we also don't have the mentality and the culture. And to hire the talent, you got to buy into the fact that we're going to change. We're willing to disrupt ourselves. We're willing to embrace change and get rid of status quo. We're willing to say, yes, I've had great success and I'm still getting accolades, but I want to have some fun too. I want to change what this organization is. While the big banks are having to build separate digital organizations to be able to get out of their own way,
mm-hmm.
most credit unions and community banks are the size that they can do it without getting rid of the... They don't have to have a good bank, bad bank. They can transform themselves in relatively short time. However, I had somebody come up to me today and said, we're having two fights in our organization. We have a fight from the branches to say we need to have more money invested in the branches and the talent to keep the people that come into the branch, who are our longest standing customers, satisfied. The digital side said, we need money on the digital side to be able to satisfy the new customers who are coming in. What should I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what. You don't need faster services. You want to invest probably about the same amount in branches, maybe, as you had before, because you don't want to disrupt the people that are still loyal, even though it's a third of them compared to what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll fail if you don't satisfy the digital side. Because
yep.
eventually, people leave or they die. And if you don't have something coming in the front door of the new people, the people that say, I want to pick you, because every time somebody moves, they have to make a decision in many cases.
Right.
And
right.
by the way, it's becoming such that they don't have to even do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have my account with a bank from California, and I moved 12 years ago. Why? Too hard to change. But more importantly, I don't need to have branches.
Right.
So stop listening to the branch people. That's what happened in retail. Stop listening to them to the degree about more investment. You still have to keep those customers and members happy.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you got your new members you got to look out for, and they're going digital. And don't let age be a fooler. I mean, I'm not a young one. I'm not a millennial. But I probably use digital more than my son does, who is a millennial. I'm demanding that of my partners in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I do shop. That's why I shop almost every day on Amazon, like it or hate it.
Well, like
it's
the rest
fun.
Of us.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's super
one
easy,
button.
And
yep.
it's there tomorrow.
Exactly.
Jim, been well worth
hey,
the wait.
Thank
you so
appreciate
much.
It.